Blog Talk Radio.
Another segment, Seed Your Truth Radio, and this is Over the Stars and Under the Moon radio segment. Today, the topic is going to be a little different. We're going to get into some real issues of spirituality. What is spirituality? And do you or have you ever witnessed, or do you know of, or have you read of anything that we can consider a miracle? Miraculous things happen every day. We as a people, we're not in tune with it. We don't read about it. We don't acknowledge it. We just walk in our daily lives. But I want to take time out to pay attention to and give credit to the spiritual world. Again, that we call the spiritual world exists on a level that some people acknowledge it when they go to church. But the truth is, it means life and breath, and it's in us. We are the spirit of the world, and we need to cover issues pertaining to that spirituality so that we can walk more in peace and balance and harmony. These are very important things, and we as a people need to talk about it open-mindedly, and that is my concept of this show, is to bring some meaningful music and some positive dialogue about the conversations that we need to talk about as a people. And don't worry, people, those of you who are running, it doesn't matter, because this is going to be put in the CD and I'm going to give them away. You can't run from me. You can't hide from me. I'm going to stand up and bring it as long as I'm able to, as long as it all gives me energy and life and breath and spirit, I'm going to bring it to you. So now we're about to begin our show. Those in the listening audience, if you were to press 1 on your phones, I know that you want to key in to the conversation. Once we're keyed in, turn your phones off of intercom or voice message or speaker phone. All right, turn it off of that and just listen directly and talk directly. But once you're not talking, you can listen to it on speaker phone. So again, I want to thank you. And this particular show and my words are not meant to hurt, insult, damage, to go up against anyone, any doctrine, any religion, what have you. I believe this, and we're going to move on. Truth is something that's very interesting, and truth stands up once you put it out there by itself. And so if you present a greater truth to me based upon facts, and I'm a real person seeking truth, I will have to research it if I need to and acknowledge it. So again, no one's trying to hurt anybody. I don't know why people run from light, because truth is light, but you know, we'll get into that. So let's prepare with our first song. And we're taking this to a inspirational type of mood with the songs, as you'll see. Let me say this also. I have some very interesting songs selected tonight. And what I found out was some of the greatest, what people call gospel songs, to my liking, were by people who were not a part of the gospel set. So then, their abilities to deliver, their love for their creator came through in the song, whether it was accepted by the masses or not. It doesn't matter. I don't believe that because you claim to be a gospel singer or a gospel person, because you make a song, it's supposed to be right. So just listen closely to the people I selected and just have a good time with me. So we're going to start off with Brother Lionel Richie. Good song. Very powerful song. Jesus is Love. I like the song. So let's hit it. Okay, okay. Beautiful song. Again, Lionel Richie singing, you know, about his spirituality, his faith, his belief, whether it was accepted by the masses or not. Again, this is a mixture of music, and music is an important part of the reflection of the soul. And when you hear songs, a lot of the music that we come to love stamps us in the now and our emotions and our love and our hearts. And this is about love. All the songs I selected. So this next song, I'm bringing in an old school brother, Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in. Then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. Cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Gonna change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. It's 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Work with me. The songs, the messages of the songs, the meanings of the songs, the situations that existed during the time of the songs, why these songs are important to so many people. That's what we're going to key in today. How it affects us, how it affects our now, our souls, our spirits. So I'm going to move on. And I think the first time I heard this song, well, you know, again, we're talking about love, whether it be for the earth, nature, your mother, your father, your lover, your significant other, your husband, your wife. And then this one here came out. It brings back memories. This is Bill Withers, Grandma's Hands. If y'all ever had a grandmama, it wasn't about no jokes like my grandmama. Woo-wee! You know what this song means to you. All right.
Church on Sunday morning, Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast, might fall on a piece of glass, might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's
gave me your love. You gave me your son. Now I say amen.
So there we go. Very beautiful song. We're about to go to this part where we discuss what the subject matter of the day is, the topic. The topic of the day is twofold. What is spirituality to you? And you can also go into the importance of spirituality. And I do believe that a lot of things have happened, is happening, will happen that we can consider miraculous or a miracle by nature, if you were to call it that. Some people say the Grand Canyon and the Northern Lights, how they flicker on and off, and what other things they consider like that. The Taj Mahal sometimes, and the Great Pyramids, things that are miraculous. So if you were to push one on your phone so we can start dialoguing on the concept of spirituality, what it means to you, to a people, we can begin our dialogue. All right, brother. Yes, Brother Skelford, you're on. Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, hello. Okay, I think we're having a little difficulty. Can you hear us, brother? Okay, we're going to move on. I see quite a few 313 area people. Again, I like for just a dialogue. Push one on your phone, I can see it. And let's talk about spirituality. Let's talk about the importance of being spiritual and walking in the spirit is what I like to say once you're trying to live this life. You're going to have to try to walk this life. And in walking what we call in the spirit, you will encounter a lot of obstacles and people and nature and the nature of people, blockage or misdirection, criticisms. If you don't walk it accordingly to how some people believe that you should walk it and thus question your own personal spirituality, they would question your relationship with the All, the Creator, Allah, God, Jesus, whoever you may call him, Tula, whoever you want that Creator to be, you know, Anu, whoever it is. I'm trying to see, I got two callers from Michigan, and I'm trying to key you in. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Is this Sister Marion? Yes, is this Sister Marion?
Are you? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
No.
Yes, you're clear. Can you hear me, sir?
How are you? Hello.
Okay, I got you. You're on. You're clear.
All right. Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I want to make sure I got my other guests on from Michigan. Sister Marion, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, now I have both of you on. I'm going to start off this time allowing the sister to start off. You, Sister Marion, what is spirituality to you, and what does it mean, and is it important?
Yes, I feel that spirituality is ultimate. I want to say that religiosity versus spirituality. Religiosity is man-made. Spirituality is individualized. What your personal belief system is, your personal experiences and how you overcome things, which allows us to grow. It's the seeds that we plant or has been planted in our lives, in the nucleus, before we become intellectualized, educated, it's what we grow to be. So I think that spirituality is very important to live a life where you have tranquility and happiness.
Okay, okay. What about looking and appearing to be different from the what you term use man-made concept of spirituality? Should one be concerned?
I think sometimes it's a base or a bottom line to evolving. If you hear lies and you don't research, or you're not open-minded enough to take more than one person's theory and or opinions, then you cut yourself off. But when you're open-minded and you listen to this one and that one and the other one, and you make a decision, which is spiritual, that, okay, there's a combination here for me. Everybody can give me something, but it's up to the individual to decide that, okay, this is who and what I am. I'm a spiritual being. I'm personally, I'm not religious. I'm not a churchgoer. I don't have anything against those who do, but for me as an individual. So what I do as an individual is important to my spirituality.
Okay, okay. I appreciate that. And Brother Sankofa, the same question
yes,
to you.
Sir.
Yes, sir. What is spirituality? Is it important?
Spirituality is very important. It's important for several reasons. I'll just give you one view from my understanding of what it is. Spirituality speaks of connectedness. And what I mean by connectedness is that when you think of the Creator, or all that is, the Creator, that the one that created all life as we know it, whatever most people subscribe to as being the Creator, whether it's a he, a she, or whether it's a multitude of deities, or divine principles, whatever that is, it's about connectedness. And what I mean by connectedness is that everything that's alive, everything, plants, animals, including human beings, we're all connected to each other. We have an interdependent relationship. And this relationship is based on harmony and mutual respect. So, for instance, right now we have a serious issue in this country, and in fact around the world, of colony collapse with the bees. And we all know that bees are one of the many pollinating insect species that pollinate our crops. The monarch butterfly is another, and they are going extinct. They're dying out, and they're going extinct. And without them, we cannot eat. You understand what I'm saying? So the way we carry our lives, where we live our lives, we must be in harmony with each other, with everything that's alive, in order to be in tune or in touch with the Creator, with the creative forces inside us, with nature itself. So now we live in a so-called advanced society. And in this advanced society, we have cell phone towers, and we have fast food, and we have people who put their emphasis on capitalism or capital or financial gain, more so than connectedness with their family. So this is the dichotomy. This is the disharmony. This is the problem with people who profess to be spiritual but religious, when they spend most of their time during the week. And I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. I'm just giving an example. When these people spend most of their time during the week working for someone else to make someone else rich, as well as chasing that fantasy of acquiring materialism, and material things to make them feel good. Whereas other folks in old world cultures, like the indigenous people here, indigenous Africans, indigenous Asians, when you look at old world cultures, the people lived in harmony with nature. The water wasn't polluted. There was no such thing as fracking, oil spills. We didn't have oil spills. Before the European came to America, all of the water in this part of the world, in the Western Hemisphere, was drinkable, all of it. No, that's not the case. So spirituality speaks of connectedness and harmony.
Okay, okay, okay. Now, what if I were to say the book says, just that statement to you, but the book says.
Come again, I didn't hear you, the question.
Okay, what if I were to just say to you, in reference to your comment, but the book says, mm-hmm. all we need is.
Well, I would say to a person that would propose to put the book before me, I would ask them, did they know that with regards to the book, and I would assume you're referring to the Bible in this case, I would ask them, did they know that the autographs do not exist? And what I mean by the autographs is I'm talking about the original scrolls. Scholars now, this is no argument among Christian scholars, they have over 5,000 different ancient manuscripts from the old world dealing with Christianity, different various books of the Bible, but they do not have the original. What they have are copies of copies, and these copies have many, a multitude of variations. They aren't identical in any place. They're all different. Some scribes changed them intentionally. Some made mistakes and omitted sentences, pages, and words. They didn't have printing presses back then. So when we talk about the book, what's said in the book, we have to understand that we're dealing with a book that is based on erroneous translations, mistranslated texts, as well as copies. We don't have the original. So what are we talking about? We don't have the original, and we say this is the word of God. We don't know what God really said because originals do not exist.
Okay.
So we can't depend on the book. We have to depend on what's inside of us.
Okay. Now, Sister Marion, what if
yes.
on your concept that you gave of spirituality, and someone were to say to you, because you don't follow the book, that you are condemned to go to Hades, hell. Well, what would be your response to that?
My response first is that my brothers, you and Brother Sankofa, I honor. Because I know my place and I'm comfortable with that. That's a part of my spirituality. It's not that you all are superior or not, but you have a place. The book is constructed, in my opinion, as a reference. Man wrote the book. I had a course at UAD in 1993, and I had a book that was the sacred text. One of the things that was pointed out was that there was a printer named Martian. He attempted to remove all the information that would dictate Mary and Jesus were Jews. So if he removed that or made an attempt to, what else did he remove? And I agree with my brother. We don't have the original text. That, to me, does not have anything to do with my personal spirituality. And when enough people, in my opinion, have a personal spirituality, they can connect with other people who have personal spirituality.
Okay. That's wonderful. Okay, we're going to keep going on with the music and come back and kind of finish up. But I thank you both for your input. And again, we need to dialogue as a people. Time is so much of the essence, and the need to come together and to bear or bury differences based upon opinions and looks and demographics and financial statuses and, who may have Native American in their blood and what your hair look, and we're still stuck on that. And it's time to really stomp that. So we're going to keep moving on with the music part again. This music is just about love and understanding. I'm coming next with Music Soul Child. We talking about love? Let's kick it with love.
Afraid I don't know how, 'cause there's a possibility.
see that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. 'Cause love, so many people
in which our children exist with confused words, lyrics, and hooks that's hooking their souls, their minds, their bodies into doing things they don't understand. Music is a very powerful tool, an influential tool, and it can motivate one to do several things. And in the next half, we're going to talk about the power of love and the power of music And what can it do to influence, if any, a people, a person? Our next song, and our artist, Aletha Adams, a very powerful song here. Powerful and beautiful song. Again, the second half we're going to talk about is the power of love. What love means to you, is it important to you? Do you exercise the power of love? Does the power of love work in your spirit and your soul? Do you give love? Do you amplify the concept of love is? Again, that's something that we need more of. We don't tell each other enough. We don't show each other enough. We don't mean it enough. We don't sing it enough. We don't write it enough. We don't mail it, email it, text it enough. You know what I'm saying? We don't baseball it enough. We don't football it enough. We don't dribble it enough. We don't do nothing enough with it. And we need it. We're starving. We're a love-starved people. You know, love for ourselves, our fellow man, love for the Creator. We're just lack. And so, again, communicating about what we need to do to become better. This next song is one of my favorite. Again, I'm a music person, and there has been some songs that has influenced me in the way that they inspired me to do better. Donnie Hathaway. This particular song is a gospel song, and a lot of our R&B singers grew up in church, knew the Lord, sung for the Lord, even though they may have went secular, as it's called, and did their things, but their heart, their roots, and I don't know their relationship with them. I don't believe that a lot of them ever turned their back. They did what they had to do. This particular song, when I first heard it, it just mesmerized me. Very powerful song. I bring to you the late, great Donnie Hathaway.
Help me, 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 help me
jazz is bringing back memories. I was in my early teens when I discovered that particular song and impacted me and made me appreciate his vocals. And at that time, hearing the song, even though I was into basketball and dogs and things like that, I adhered to the song and I asked the Lord to help me. So love, what is love? How important is love to you? I know that as a man, I have brothers that I've never heard the words, I love you. I remember the first time my father told me that he loved me, and I was shocked. I didn't know how to respond because I'm growing up. I would think I was in my early 20s and, you know, trying to find an idea of how to walk like a man, be strong, not be subjected to selling drugs, using drugs, beating up people, robbing people, stealing people, trying to maintain some type of dignity, morals, and principles. And yet, when my father told me he loved me for the first time, I didn't know how to respond. I couldn't respond. I was shocked because I hadn't heard it from him. And I hadn't done anything wrong, but he just looked at me that one day and we were talking. He said, son, you know, I love you. And I had to turn away because I didn't know how to express love as a man to a man. And that was my father at that particular time. So then I'm going to key in. Again, anyone who wants to key into the conversation, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone. And this portion of the conversation is the show. We're covering love and music. How important is love to you? Is it important? Music. Does it influence us? Can it motivate us? Can it lead us in the wrong way, destroy us, or can it uplift us? All you have to do is press 1, and we will key you in. You're a new caller, and how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. So at this point of the show, we're talking about love and music. I don't know which way you want to go with it, so I'm going to leave it up to you. Which way do you want to talk about, the love, how important, or do you want to talk about music and its influence?
I want to talk about love. I've talked about music before.
Okay.
I feel that love is very important in a person's life, whether they actually realize it or recognize it within themselves or not. I think that it's really good for us to experience love or at least express it to other people, because if we don't even know we have it in ourselves, maybe when we express it to someone else, it will wake something up internally and say, you know what, the same way you can love that person, you can love yourself. Because a lot of times we as people, we don't truly self-love ourselves because we may not have been taught it. We may not know what it is. I know growing up as a child, I loved my mother very much, but my mother was not a expressioner of love. She didn't hug me. She didn't kiss me. She didn't tell me that she loved me like that. So I never really knew how to do that. But I do love people. Because I'm an only child, I poured out love that was in me that I didn't know I had. So now I'm learning to love myself. So it's very, very, very important. It can make you, it can break you.
Okay. When you give love to someone and they in turn shun away or turn their back or don't prove worthy of the love that you're trying to show and give, how do you handle that?
Ooh, that's a good one. It hurts until we can get to a place of maturity to learn to walk away when we've been hurt enough. We won't know. We continue to try to love that individual when they're not deserving of it because we haven't learned how to love ourselves. Once we mature and tap into ourselves and ask the questions, why are you loving that person more than you love yourself? Why are you giving them more time than you give yourself? Until we're able to do that, we stay stuck in the now, not realizing that we're actually hurting ourselves more by staying stuck. So once we begin to reexamine things, grow spiritually, as you were talking about earlier in the earlier segment, along with Brother Sankofa, Sister Marion, learning who we are, learning our own spiritual growth with our Creator, helps us to recognize our inner love, and we can mature no matter what the other person does, it doesn't affect us anymore, and we can move forward. Like the pain kind of goes away with that individual, and you learn from your mistake, and you learn what true love is, and you just kind of keep it moving. I know in the past I've prayed for the people who've hurt me, and I ask God to help me move on so that I can find my true love, whatever it might be, whether it's with myself, another individual. I don't hate them or anything, but I'm glad that they're not a part of my life anymore so that I can continue to grow in the righteous love that I know I deserve now.
Okay. Beautiful. I'm going to key in to another caller. Sister Marion, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Which way would you want to go with? Do you want to go to the importance and the power of music, how it influences? Or let's just keep this part on love for right now. Then we'll do a little bit more on the music and the influence.
Well, I think it should be condensed. The music is love, depending on the lyrics. First, let me say that I extend love to you, to Brother Sankofa, to Sister Sharika. I think that it's important to not only use the word, but show the action. I think that what hinders us as a people is that we can talk all day long. It's what you do, how you treat and extend yourself to others. I think that the men, you and Brother Sankofa, I think that we as women need to acknowledge man was first. Give him his homage. If you have a certain level of spirituality, you don't feel insecure or passed over. Love is such a multifaceted thing. It's not just one thing. It has an array of so many things, it's hard to even verbalize what they are. But I think that love encompasses respect and admiration, number one. So again, I extend my love and admiration for everyone that I can hear. The problem with our people is that we don't seem to be able to hear what we need to hear, because of all the things that's going on in our heads or in society. The intellectual sector seems to be the superior sector. Without love, it means nothing, in my opinion.
Okay. I have a question for you. How does one know that they're loved by someone? How do you know that someone loves you?
I know that I'm loved when I'm feeling bad and not even thinking about that person, I get a call. I know that I'm loved when I approach a person and they say, hey, what's been going on with you? What can I do? It's not necessarily monetarily back to spirituality. It's the in-depth spirit of an individual that lets you know, that connects with you, that pulls you in, that gives you that hug, be it in another state, around the corner, down the street. You can say anything to people. It's what you can connect to, which to me, again, is spirituality.
Okay. Very much. I'm going to move on to the next caller. Brother Sankofa.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm doing great now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to to comment on something that the sister had just said. And I can appreciate showing respect to us as counterparts of the race, us being males and you know, she being female. I can respect that. And we should have that mutual respect. But what I wanted to say is that, you know, men, we as men weren't necessarily first. And I'm speaking on a biological scale. Women are primary, actually. If we want to trace our origin back to its earliest root, to the source, we can only do it by going through our mother's line through the mitochondrial DNA. If you look at African cultures, in any old world cultures, they were all matriarchal, meaning these were societies that were situated and organized around the strength and the spirit of the women of that society and group. And some of that was retained when our ancestors were brought here, kidnapped and brought here. Right now, in our communities, all of us, you played grandma's hands earlier, all of us had a big mama. All of us who are African, all of us who are black, we all had a big mama. But Arabs don't have big mamas, nor do Caucasians. They don't have a big mama. Chinese folks, they don't have big mama either. That's a phenomenon. That's an African phenomenon. And so women, you know, the female is primary and well-respected, you know, among our group. And we all know the power and authority that women hold. You know, people mistake that and say black women are bossy and arrogant. That's not necessarily so. Black women wield power, and we as men understand that ancient mother right. We understand this. So I appreciate the sister acknowledging us. But at the same time, I just wanted to make that clarification that, you know, the source of life itself, all life comes from the feminine aspect of every species that exists on the planet, including in the plant-animal species. Plants have a male and female reproductive system, a pistil and a stamen, and it's the feminine side that gives life. So we should understand that. But real quick, what I want to say about love, love goes back to spirituality, and as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion. Love speaks of connectedness. It speaks of connectedness. This is why when people get together, they come together, they gravitate towards one another, they become one. And if they're broken apart or the relationship fails, that's the pain because that connection is broken. So it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with regards to spirituality. It all speaks of connectedness. And let me add this last part in with regards to music. Music is very, very serious. It can destroy you or it can build you. In ancient Kemet, Egypt, they used music to heal people who were physically ill, people who were sick. They used music to heal them. Music carries vibration. Everything on the planet operates on a vibrational scale or tone. Music is serious. I mean, it's something that's very, very sacred. It's something that's highly spiritual. And having said that, the word music itself, the root of the word music is muse. That comes from the Greek mythology, speaking of the nine goddesses of inspiration. Dealt with literature, sciences, arts, and things of that nature. So we're talking about influencing. And I'll say this in closing. If you look at the emergence of rap music, hip-hop, in the mid-80s, if you look at the emergence of the popularity of it, you can see a temporal spike and decline in our moral traditions, the moral fabric in the community, and our insanity. You can see a temporal spike in it. So that's the relationship of music and love I have to offer.
Okay. I appreciate that. Looking at how things were when I came up and how the family reunions were very organized, I did look forward to them annually. I grew up in Detroit, and I think it was Champlain Park was the main park that our families would come together, and the uncles and aunts and grandparents would be at a table playing cards, checkers, chess, and children would be in another area playing and having fun. And the strength that came from being around each other often helps us to grow closer. But what I'm noticing is that in terms of the black community, we're a little different than other cultures when we grow up. Other cultures grow closer as they get older because they are taught the importance of togetherness and love, unity, harmony. We as a black people, we grow up and we grow apart as a people. Even in our spiritual walk, those of us who are, you know, involved in church and believe in scripture and trying to exhibit love, we tend to grow apart. We allow differences, in my opinion, that shouldn't separate us to separate us. And it shouldn't happen like that. So I think that we need to take a look at that and how we grow apart, how we allow something from the past, whether it be something someone said, something someone didn't like, to separate us. Let me say this. Love is an action and love is a verb. And the verb is the thing or the most important part of any sentence. If you were to take out the verb, then the sentence would have no meaning. Prepositions, adjectives, whatever, the nouns mean nothing because it's the verb that carries it through. But what happens is when we live in a world that's based upon money, this capitalism that we adapt, this capitalistic mindset that we've adapted, even has, to a great degree, superseded our faith in God, our faith in the all, our faith in a higher power, because we're told and we see that in God we trust, but yet people are killing for the dollar bill. People are lying for it, stealing and cheating, as opposed to come together. So then we do need to go back to the standards of morals as a community, as a family, as a village, and get back in touch with our emotions, because everyone wants to be hard, you know, and not show love, not give love out of fear of being hurt or rejected. But love within itself, love for yourself, love for your creator, actually makes you stronger. And if someone refuses it or tries to abuse it, it only enhances you, and you can walk away and say, you know, I still love you. It's okay. You know, I see you when I see you. I help you when I can. I'm not offended. I'm not going to talk about you behind your back. I'm not going to try to stab you behind your back. And if I see you in need, I'm going to reach out to you. That's what real powerful love is to me. That is that spiritual type of love that we need again. So I'm going to move on with the segment of music, and then we're going to come back into the influence of music. The next one, again, we're talking about love. So here we are, Detroit's own Spinners. I think this is going to really impact a lot of listeners. Very meaningful song.
In a world like today, it's a rare occasion to be able to see young mothers like the ones that were around when I grew up. But they live on in memory to quite a few of us. And this song is dedicated to those who cherish that memory. Early one Sunday morning, breakfast was on the table. There was no time to eat. She said to me, boy, hurry to Sunday school. Filled with the Lord of glory, we learned the holy story. She'll always have her dreams, despite the things this troubled world can bring. Oh, say, don't you know we love you, sweet cotton candy, stronger than Papa's old brandy. Always that needed smile. Once in a while, she would.
would break down and cry. Sometimes she'd be so happy being with us and Daddy, standing the worst of times, breaking the binds with just a simple song.
Enough to have had some, I call them godmoms in my life, to take a special interest in me, that saw something in me, that fed me love and told me great things, besides my mom, I mean, but told me things that you have something special. You know, I listened, didn't quite believe it, but I listened, but it was encouraging, you know. That was just that extended love for the village that we used to have, that we don't have anymore, to where as a person can call you, who are you? What's your name? What's your mother's name? Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'd like to meet your mom one day. Just neighbors, just see you as a young person. What do you do? Try to dialogue with you. You know what I'm saying? We don't have that link anymore. I'm going to close with a song, and then we'll have a little bit of dialogue as time is moving fast. This particular rendition of a change is going to come, I ran across, again, music is a language that touches the soul. And this is Brother Al Green. Just, wow, man, just listen to this.
was a bear beyond the sky. Then a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. And oh, yes, it will. One more thing. Then I go to my brother. Yes, sir. And I say, brother, help me, please. Oh, yes, sir. But he winds up. Nothing me back down on my knees. Oh, it's time that I thought I couldn't last for long. Hallelujah. But now I think I'm able to carry on. I know it's been a long, oh yeah, a long time coming, but the change don't come. Oh yes it will. Let me just say it one more time.
Sitting here in the studio just going, wow, that's wow. Okay, listen to this, y'all. Really, the song, we had a couple extra minutes, and I don't want to cram the topic because I'm going to get deeper into it the next time we go into something. So we're going to end with the conversation or the understanding of communication about love. It's just been a long time coming. That as a people, now I'm talking in particularly to the black man, that we can sit down, we can greet each other, we can hug each other, we can be there for each other in love and in unity. Listen to this. Here's the problem. When the black teen is experiencing despair, agony, self-hate, denial of himself and the world in which he lives. When he experiences hurt and love in the relationship or in the pain of love in the family situation, he does not have a place to go to address the issues of a broken fucking heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to be there to communicate, to open up arms, right, so that we know and he knows that he has a place to come and not be judged and not be turned away. The beauty of the woman is that she grows up into this communication of love, because women are so in tune with things, and when a woman experiences hurt, there are sisters and aunties and mama around to help them go through this, to support them, and you become a support group within yourselves in the village. But for the black man, we have no support. We have no support system. We have no support group. And what happens is we have allowed the street to be the judge, the jury, and the teacher of our teens. No damn wonder they're confused. No damn wonder that they're lost. No damn wonder that they don't know love. And no damn wonder that they have no spirituality, because we have not set up enough for them and loved them enough and shown them enough that they can come to us and get love and understanding of love. I'm dropping the damn mic. Peace.